And now, our story continues. It was nearly midnight. The populace of Elkhorn City, confined to their houses because of the turbulent storm this evening, had by now gone to bed. Except for the street lamps and a sign here and there, the town was almost entirely dark. But at the corner of First and Main, lights blazed out from the Miles Memorial Hospital. Upstairs in surgery, Dr. Cabot, Dr. Paul Bach's assistant, was operating. The patient on the table was Harry Wilkinson, night watchman at Jonathan Smith's cement plant, and one of the two victims of an explosion that had occurred there earlier this evening. As he assisted and watched Johnny Cabot perform the delicate brain surgery, Dr. Paul felt a great personal pride in the young man's surgical skill. And later, when it was over, as the two doctors sat smoking in Dr. Bach's office, the chief of staff said,
"I want to compliment you, Johnny. That was one of the most beautiful jobs of neurological surgery I've ever witnessed."
"Thanks, Dr. Paul. And I don't mind admitting that I was plenty nervous."
"Yes, of course you were.
What with that cardiac condition of Wilkinson's, and then, too, I'd never used that method before."
"Yes, I noticed it was a new one, and very successful, Johnny."
"I probably should have left Wilkinson up to you, Dr. Paul, but I didn't know how long it would take you to get over to the hospital. And in my opinion, the Paulson boy had the better chance of the two. You saw Wilkinson's picture, didn't you?"
"Yes, I've examined the X-ray. Yeah, you did absolutely the right thing, Johnny. With a depressed fracture of that sort, that pressure on the brain, and for a man in Wilkinson's condition, I think any further delay would have been fatal. But I don't understand why there was so much delay. Before we go over Wilkinson's and Billy Paulson's cases, Johnny, bring me up to date."
"What do you want to know?"
"Well, for instance, this report here. Who wrote it?"
"I don't know. I've been too busy to check on it."
"Evidently someone was around at the time of the accident who knew what he was doing, all right."
"I believe someone said it was a girl."
"A girl? Out at the cement plant at this hour? Well, who was it, do you know?"
"I don't know, Dr. Paul."
Does the writing look familiar to you?"
"No. Should it?"
"I could swear I'd seen it before someplace."
"Oh?"
"Anyway, that's not important. What I don't understand is why I wasn't called until after 10 o'clock. It says here in this report that the explosion occurred about 7:45. Now, it's only 10 miles out to that plant. Why all the delay?"
"Well, the telephone lines were down for one thing."
"Oh?"
"And Corey Murdoch said there was a lot of discussion about whether or not they could get the men into town. You see, the road is badly flooded there at the fork."
"Corey Murdoch?"
"Uh-huh."
"But he doesn't work at the plant. Isn't he a bus driver?"
"That's right. He and Dick Haggerty, the plant foreman, brought the men in the bus. And I believe Murdoch mentioned some girl helping them."
The one who wrote this?"
"I believe so. But to tell you the truth, Dr. Paul, I don't know too much of what happened as yet."
"TPR. Whoever wrote this was certainly conversant with medical abbreviations and terms."
"Yeah, I know. I thought about it when I first saw the note. And you should have seen the bandages we took off the Paulson kid. Tucker insists no layman could have done the job."
This handwriting seems familiar to me. Where is this girl now?"
"I don't know. As I said, I haven't much of a clear picture yet. You'll have to ask Miss Tucker or Haggerty."
"Oh, is Haggerty still here?"
"Yeah, I told him to wait. Thought you might want to ask him some questions."
"Indeed I do. And what about Murdoch, Corey Murdoch? How did he get mixed up in all this?"
"Well, it seems he..."
"Excuse me. Come in."
"Here's your coffee."
"Oh, thank you, Miss Tucker."
"There you are. It's good and hot."
"Doll baby, you're a heaven-sent angel." "Boy, that smells good."
"You better have a cup, too, Dolly May."
"Thank you. We'll later, Dr. Paul."
"Say, Tucker, weren't you telling me about some conversation you had with Dick Haggerty regarding the girl who wrote this report?"
"Yes, I was, Dr. Cabot."
"No, wait a minute, though. Let me get this straight. What was the bus doing bringing injured men in from the cement plant?"
"Oh, I know about that. It seems this busload of people heard the explosion, saw it from the highway. Mrs. Wilkinson was on the bus, so...
Harry Wilkinson's wife?
Yeah. So she insisted that they drive over to the factory and see what had happened. Evidently, one of the fellas from the plant had started for Carterville to get Dr. Cairns there.
Well, I think it's a good thing they didn't wait. With the storm, it might have taken several hours.
Yeah, so Corey figured maybe with the bus he could make it through the flooded part of the road back to Elkhorn City.
Smart boy. He certainly deserves a medal. If those men hadn't gotten to the hospital when they did, they wouldn't have had a chance.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Dr. Bach. It isn't Corey Murdoch who deserves the medal, as you put it. It's the woman who wrote that report.
That's Tucker for you. Always sticking up for her sex.
Well, I talked about it with that Mr. Haggerty. And a very unpleasant person he is, I might add.
I know him.
From what I gathered, this woman, whoever she is, took the situation in hand. She not only administered emergency treatment, but she was the one who insisted that they try to make it back to town. This Haggerty told me he opposed the idea.
He would. But who is this woman?
I don't know.
Didn't Haggerty say?
Just that she was a passenger on the bus.
Oh. A passenger on the bus. Tell Haggerty to come in here, Miss Tucker.
Very well, Dr. Paul.
Haggerty, I want to ask you a few questions about this accident tonight.
All I know is what I already said. The boiler blew up. I was in the other part of the building at the time,
no,
so...
No, you've got me wrong. I'm not concerned with that at the moment. What I'm interested in is this young woman who gave first aid to the men hurt at the plant. You know who she is?
No, I don't. What's all this fuss about that woman anyway? Everybody's asking questions about her. Why?
Because she's largely responsible for saving the lives of those two men if they pulled through okay.
She drove in from the plant with you and Murdoch, didn't she?
Yeah.
That's strange. Didn't either you or Miss Tucker see her, Johnny?
No, I certainly didn't.
She beat it as soon as we got to the hospital. Handed me that stuff she'd written down and left. I figured she was going across the street for a cup of coffee or something, maybe.
Well, what'd she look like, Haggerty? Or didn't you notice?
Yeah, I noticed all right. Because I didn't go for the way she figured she was such a smart cookie that she could tell me what to do. But I gotta admit, she was pretty good looking. About so tall and kind of pretty. A little thin, maybe, but neat, you understand.
Oh, perfectly.
Was she a brunette or a blonde?
She had black hair. And, let's see, blue eyes, I think. Yeah, blue eyes.
I see. All right, Haggerty, thanks.
Is that all?
Yes.
I mean, do I have to stick around here anymore? I'd like to get home sometime before dawn.
I believe we have all the information we need from you at the moment.
Okay.
Well, too bad. Afraid he wasn't much help.
And you know something? From the description he gave, it's a shame the young lady prefers to remain anonymous.
She isn't anonymous, Johnny.
Huh?
I know who she is. Virginia Martin.
Virginia?
What?
You're crazy. I mean, she's gone. I phoned your mother's house tonight, and she told me that Virginia's gone.
Yeah, she left, Johnny, that's right. And Corey Murdoch was driving the bus she took.
Oh, you're wrong. If it were Virginia, she wouldn't be so secretive about it.
No, Johnny, you're the one that's wrong. I see now that that's exactly what she'd do under the circumstances. Excuse me a minute, I'll be right back.
Hey, where are you going?
I'll be back in a little while.
Yes, but Dr. Paul, your hat, it's raining, you know.
What's he care about such a little thing as rain, Tucker?
And what do you suppose came over him all of a sudden? Where's he gone?
Off to chase a will-o'-the-wisp named Martin.
At this hour? And in this weather? Why, he doesn't even know where she's staying.
No, but he'll find her, if it's humanly possible.
Well, I admit the young woman certainly deserves recognition for what she did tonight. But I don't see why Dr. Paul couldn't have waited until morning.
Don't you, Tucker?
I most certainly do not.
Well, it's something I can understand. I believe I know, but I doubt if Dr. Paul knows himself.
Dr. Cabot, you're worn out. You'd better get some sleep. You're beginning not to make sense.
Maybe. But on the other hand, Tucker, perhaps I'm just beginning to make sense for the first time.
Young Dr. Cabot was thinking of an expression he'd seen and recognized in Dr. Paul's face. He was thinking of the determination, the eagerness that had come over the older man when he had learned that Virginia Martin was back in Elkhorn City. But perhaps, Johnny told himself, he was imagining things. But I'm not so sure that you are, Dr. Cabot. And I also think you may be right when you say that Dr. Paul Bach himself doesn't realize the real motivation that caused him to leave the hospital so suddenly, in spite of the hour. No, at the moment, his purpose in finding Virginia Martin is not because of what she did tonight, but to find out how she happened to know what to do. But first, Dr. Paul, you have to be able to find the girl. And I wonder if you'll accomplish that.